In low and middle income countries, they're trained in a combination of ways, depending on the country. Usually it's a combination of university-based training plus some clinical practice in a teaching hospital, but that's not always the case. Some countries have training just in the hospital, and like Australia, most countries are moving towards a three-year direct entry program for midwifery. It's found to produce better quality graduates, which can contribute to decreasing the maternal mortality in those countries. So a combination of ways.
So is it university professors who are providing the training and people in the hospital? So it's actually people with skills in the area.
Yeah, good question. Not always. In some countries, some low and middle income countries, the midwifery teachers and trainers are actually not midwives. They could be nurses, doctors, not always doctors in obstetrics, like doctors in other fields also. And there is some countries that don't have enough qualified educators. So the educators that are training the midwifery students don't have a qualification in education. And in some countries, they're even not in medicine. So they could be pharmacists or veterinarians that are training the midwifery students. So you can imagine that the quality of the education that they're getting is not great in those cases.
And the consistency, I imagine, as well, is not great.
Sure. If you're not prepared to be an educator, if you don't have training or a qualification in education, then you don't know how to transfer knowledge. You're not sure how to assess the students' learning, how to facilitate critical thought. In a lot of low and middle income countries, the teaching is quite didactic. It's photocopying pages out of a textbook. It's reading straight off an overhead projector or a PowerPoint if they have that technology. So it doesn't engage the student, and it doesn't promote them to think laterally and to think critically.
I imagine that becomes quite a problem because every pregnancy is different. There are going to be different complications. And when you're a midwife, I'm guessing you have to think on your feet a lot.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So a lot of research has been done into the way students learn, and specific to midwifery, like you mentioned, you do need to be able to apply your knowledge to different situations. Every woman is different. Every pregnancy is different. There are some similarities, but you have to be able to think critically and analyze the data that you get from the woman, what's her blood pressure, like how's the pregnancy progressing, and then be able to apply your knowledge to new situations. So a didactic sort of education doesn't prepare you for that environment in the real world. Yeah.
And do you get a practical experience while you're doing your training, or is it all just in the classroom?
So most countries now have a combination of theory and practice, which is great. The International Confederation of Midwives have said there should be like a minimum amount of practice and a minimum amount of theory. Most countries, developed countries, adopt a 50-50 mix of theory and prac, or 40% prac and 60% theory, or close as they can to get to a 50-50 mix. But in some low and middle income countries, that's not maintained because perhaps the country doesn't know the standard, or perhaps there's not enough teaching hospitals to send the students to, or many reasons, finances, lack of information about how to structure the course and things like that. So the clinical practice is really important. A lot of midwifery students learn better clinically, so it's really important to get them out there into the clinical area. But then that raises the issue of, so who's teaching them in the clinical space? If the midwifery educator is teaching them at the university, does the midwifery educator go from the university to the clinical area? And then is she employed by that hospital? What's her scope of practice there? How many students is she supervising? And is she able to get around to all those areas to supervise her students? So there's a lot of issues associated with maintaining a good level of theory and also a good level of practice.
So in your study, you've been looking at the various training approaches. What sort of approaches were ineffective?
In the literature review, I conducted last year looking at approaches to building midwifery educator capacity in low and middle income countries. A lot of research has been done about study abroad. Like perhaps we can ask the midwifery educator to leave her country and to go to a more developed country like Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and do some training and then go back to her country to practice. But that approach has shown to not be so effective because of the it's not context-specific information that they're learning here in Australia, for example. There's a lot of technology here. The language is different. Of course, the environment in which she practices is different, and the sociocultural determinants of health are different here compared to her home country. So the study abroad model has not been effective, and students who have left their country to study abroad often don't go back to the country to improve the health status of people there. So that hasn't found to be useful. Also, internet-based training modules or facilitated education packages haven't found to be useful either, because the tendency in most low and middle income countries is to communicate face-to-face, verbally, and there's a tendency not to really like electronic forms of communication. So either the modules aren't completed or there's problems with knowing how to use the technology or access to the internet. So that hasn't found to be very useful either.
What strategies are effective?
What is found to be really useful is having some expert or consultant or mentor going into the country and working alongside the midwifery educators in a partnership model and assisting them with accessing resources, learning how to use technology, role modelling more contemporary teaching methods, and assisting them by building that relationship and working alongside them to really understand the context and build their capacity in that way. So that has found in some countries in Africa, the South Pacific and Asia to be most effective.
Are the educators receptive to what people from other countries are trying to teach them?
Yes, sometimes they are. Yeah, sometimes they are. And it all depends on the approach that the international visitor takes in that country. The national educators have stated that it's really important for them that their international counterpart is culturally sensitive, knows some language, knows the context, goes slowly, and takes into account the learning needs of the individual when they go there, and not try to replicate the system where they come from.
Another barrier I think I was reading in your research was that the curriculum that educators are working off in low and middle income countries are often quite outdated.
Right. Yeah, that's a big problem. And that comes back to access to information. So in most low and middle income countries, the infrastructure for internet and computers and libraries, textbooks, things like that, it just isn't there. And so midwives might do their training and then not have any continuing professional development. So their knowledge and skills aren't up to date. And then they're the midwives that go into education roles. And so when they're developing the curriculum, they're basing their curriculum on information that they learnt maybe 20 years ago. So they don't have the benefit of high-speed internet, a library full of resources, colleagues who travel to international conferences and hear the latest research. They just don't have that at their fingertips like we do here. So the curriculum then that they develop is not evidence-based and it's not contemporary. So that can be a big problem.
I know part of reducing child mortality is access to things like contraception. In a lot of these low and middle income countries, I imagine that contraception isn't as widely accepted for, you know, religious or moral reasons. How do you help educate? And part of midwives' role, of course, is providing advice on these things. How do you educate and talk about that and bridge that cultural divide?
Good question. Yeah, family planning and contraception is the most cost-effective strategy to decrease maternal mortality. So it's in the curriculum in every midwifery training school to teach family planning and to teach about contraception. In some countries, there is some resistance based on religious or moral reasons, as you said. Mostly, it's a lack of understanding about the role of contraception. There are still some areas that believe that using family planning methods or contraception aborts a fetus, for example. So there's some misconceptions about actually the role of family planning and what contraception is. So as midwives, we tend to encourage other healthcare workers not to take a religious spin on contraception and look at it purely from a health point of view. It's well known that a lower fertility rate, meaning if a woman has less babies, then she is healthier. Her whole family are healthier, and they actually have more disposable income also to spend on education and healthcare. So the fewer babies you have, the richer you are, basically. So we take that spin on it. And when we're educating women and educating midwives about contraception, family planning methods, that's the track we come from. It's like, okay, it's not to control you and to tell you how many babies you have, but if you have fewer babies, you're able to look after those babies better. You can feed those babies and clothe those babies, space your babies, wait 2 years before you have another one, and then stop around four. And then look at your means and have your babies according to the means that you have. So usually it's pretty well received, yeah.